Shock the System. Welcome to Dank Discussions with me, Calican CEO Maynard Breslow. In each episode, you'll learn from the trailblazers, leaders, entrepreneurs, and influencers in the ever-moving, ever-growing cannabis industry. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Dank Discussions. Today, we're joined by Ernie Beck. Ernie is the founder and operator of Four Reasons Hemp. Thanks for joining us today, Ernie.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks. I'm grateful to have you on today. It's March 30th. We're still in the middle here of some uncertain times, rough times for everybody in the world, all across the world. So I'm grateful to have you on and maybe be able to share some of your experiences as well. Of what people may be going through or what the experience is going to have afterwards. So grateful to have you on.
Appreciate it.
So good. So first and foremost, start off easy. Let our listeners know where you're based out of today.
Yeah, so we are on the eastern shore of Maryland, over on the East Coast. I'm about 5 miles from Delaware and about 30 miles south of Pennsylvania. So up in the northeast corner of Maryland.
Very cool. Very cool. And, so I know kind of can be seen as new to the industry, so to speak, but you come with a great background and great intentions in the industry as well that you can share here. Can you kind of walk me through your journey to where you are now, having Four Reasons Hemp, and kind of your background and what led to it?
Yep, absolutely. So probably just about 12, almost 13 months ago, like I had said, you know, if someone told me back then this is what I'd be doing, I'd tell them that they were absolutely nuts to think that I would be in the CBD, the hemp and cannabis space. But yeah, I was so I'm married. My wife and I met. I was a first responder, firefighter, EMT. My wife is still a emergency room nurse. So we met that way. Over time, my brother-in-law, he's out in California. He's in the, has been in the industry for a few years, and just hearing him talking, you know, about how the industry was growing. And, finally I decided to, I was 100% against it. Like I said, if someone told me I was going to be doing this, you're crazy. I was absolutely 100% against it, wanted nothing to do with it. But that was because I was stuck in the stigma, I would say. So finally, one day I just decided to put my ignorance aside, and I actually went out and educated myself on the CBD industry, the benefits that came from it. I traveled to Oregon. I literally got on a call on like a Tuesday, said, hey, the guy says, hey, why don't you come out and visit us? So on Thursday morning, I was on a plane to Oregon. Friday night, I was back home in Maryland. So I went out there and I kind of saw what the industry was doing firsthand from this guy and really liked it. Listened to him, got his expertise, came back and told my wife. I said, hey, we're going in the hemp business. And she looked at me like, what are you, nuts? So, but yeah, we founded Four Reasons, Hemp in May of 2019. Four reasons. We have four children. So we got twin daughters, Olivia and Sophia. And I got a daughter, Avery, and then our son, Anthony. So we believe everybody has a reason in life of why they do things. Our reason are our children. That's why we came up with Four Reasons. Everybody has a reason. You just got to find out what it is and move forward with it.
Oh, that's amazing. It really takes a lot of strength, obviously, having stigma. I think it's something we all kind of grew up with, whether it be DARE, or gateway drug or anything else. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, obviously. Now, I guess, you're talking about how you want nothing to do with it, right? I mean, what really were your feelings about cannabis before? What was it, and kind of was there something specific that made you come around? You said you did your own research and you started educating yourself. How'd you go about that education? And was there something specific there that you're like, this is BS, what I've been taught or what I've been thinking, kind of spark that change?
Yeah, so, obviously you growing up, you said that it's a gateway drug, marijuana is a gateway drug and all that. And I'm still not, I'm all for medical marijuana. You know, I would never tell somebody, no, they shouldn't do it. You know, just me personally, you wouldn't find me using or having products with THC or anything in it like that. Just because it's just something I'm not big on that part of it. But what I did is I actually started educating myself on the benefits of the medical marijuana, of what was, how it was helping people, as an individual. So it should be up to the individual to decide, you know, whether something's going to benefit them or not. And if it is going to benefit them, then they should be able to have access to it, as long as they're not going to cause harm to others. So while I was going through and kind of educating myself on that, you know, with the CBD, there's no, obviously the hallucinogenics, the psychoactives are not in there. So I was like, well, wait a minute. Cause that was one of the big reasons I wasn't a fan of, you know, marijuana, was because of the mind altering, you know, the psychoactive of it. So when I started looking at CBD and seeing all the benefits of it, one of the big things that really changed my mind was, and I'm blanking on the name of it right now. It's a drug out there, that's used for children with epilepsy. I can't remember the name of it, but anyway, the benefit of coming with that, when you're looking at kids that are having literally hundreds of seizures a day, and then they can take a medicine that has this in it, and it's bringing it down. And then that kind of led me into more research and finding people actually using CBD, you know, for the epilepsy. And then I went on and I found, you know, that it helps with anxiety, it helps with PTSD. So it kind of really piqued my interest. And then just once I saw that, you know, there weren't really, you know, very rarely will you ever find someone, or at least that I've seen, that may have some type of negative reaction to CBD. I couldn't really find anything, you know, negative about it. It was just a lot of benefits. So I started trying it myself occasionally here and there. And I think it was after a couple times of trying that I was like, man, you know, I don't want to say it's a result of me taking the CBD product, but I know I'm going to keep using this. And then I would stop doing it. And then, you know, I was like, hey, I can honestly say that, you know, taking the CBD product has helped me tremendously with, you know, anxiety. I'm not diagnosed with PTSD, but I think we all have some type of PTSD, as individuals, especially if you're a first responder. You know, seeing things, being part of things that the mind really shouldn't be a part of. So I knew after I tried it, saw the benefits of it, I was like, all right, you know, let's get involved in this and see what we can do to, you know, our part of helping other people, overcome or be able to control, some of those same issues.
No, definitely. And I, you know, I appreciate that. And I want to, you know, transition to, you know, what you're talking about with the PTSD and being a first responder, and your wife being a nurse in the ER. Before that, you know, I am, because I'm super curious and interested, really, because, you know, me growing up, being born and raised in LA, and obviously, you know, not everybody is just like rah rah weed, all that stuff, right? But you know, it is interesting to me because you know, I feel like we kind of have this insulated culture a little bit where we kind of I don't, you know, everybody's just so for it. I want to kind of hear the counterpart a little bit, because obviously, you know, being a first responder and THC free, the products that you offer are beneficial to your customers because, you know, for testing reasons, everything like that. But what is it, you know, don't want to put words in your mouth, but, you know, when we talk about other things, you're talking about psychoactive effect. And then we see that, and I'm not sure what your views are on this either, but, you know, we see alcohol is legal for people to enjoy responsibly, and we see that people use different pills, and those can have mind-altering effects. What is it specifically about cannabis and THC as opposed to other mind-altering things that kind of turns you off, if you can share on that?
So it's, I would say part of it is, it's kind of a tough, I mean, the way I look at it is, like, let's take, you know, alcohol, for instance, you know, people drink, people don't drink. So obviously if you're at a limit of, you know, 0.04 to 0.08, depending where you're at, you're considered to be under the influence of an alcohol. So you can't operate cars. You really shouldn't be doing other things because it is dangerous. So I haven't seen enough yet You know, the, under the farm bill, in order to be considered hemp and CBD, you have to be below 0.3% total THC. So there is that level there, but that, that number, in my opinion, is not a, a true number. I mean, my understanding is that came from a guy up in Canada who just needed a baseline to bounce some numbers off of, and he came up with it. There's no rhyme or reason to why we have that.
Yeah, we're so talking about that a lot, definitely. On the,
yeah, so, I mean, if you take and, you know, the effects you have under alcohol, when you reach that level, your mind is altered. You know, within the marijuana and let's just say cannabis, whatever it may be, when, what level is it to where you're affected to where you can't make sound decisions? So I think there's still a lot of information that needs to be brought out there. But as far as using a product, you know, me, obviously, now, if I were to have a drug test and I had a minimal amount of THC in it from the products, you know, I can't get fired from my job. I'm not jeopardizing my career. However, I've got a lot of friends in law enforcement. So if they go out there and they test, because when they test it, they test for positive. It's not to what level you have in your system, like a BAC for your blood alcohol, where it's 0.04, 0.08, they can tell you exactly how drunk you are. They don't do that. It's just a if it's positive, it's positive, and now you're in trouble. You're sitting there getting reprimanded, written up, or, you know, fired from your career, which is why we're transitioning down into and coming with the THC free product, and that way we're able to help everybody. You know, we could go down the rabbit hole of, well, you're taking the THC out, so are you getting the true effects of it? I'm not a scientist, you know, I'm not someone who can take and make that determination. But I know that with our product, we're able to help as many people as possible. We want to open it up to make sure that first responders are able to take this product as well. Right now they can't, a lot of them can't. And I really think it's hurting more than it's helping, by them not being able to take it.
Oh yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. You know, in that term, I guess it's just the current standard that we have now. I think it kind of plays into the stigma a little bit, you know, for instance, now, you know, MLB just ratified their laws as well to not be testing for cannabis, the NFL and their new, agreement with the union there, we're able to not test for cannabis. You know, UFC's already made it there, you know, where they don't test for that as well. They're not going to ban you for that as well. I think it's just a matter of industry by industry, little by little, going away from that a little bit. Obviously, you know, we talk about driving under the influence. I don't think anybody wants anybody driving under the influence. You know, you as a first responder, I'm sure you've seen all kinds of horrible things with that as well, regardless of what the substance is. So I don't think that's, you know, nobody wants to see that. I guess it's just a matter of why should we, you know, an individual who's benefiting from it, right? And, you know, we talk about alcohol isn't, you know, it is legal for certain people, and obviously you shouldn't be driving over a certain limit there. But I guess it's there's not really medical benefits to alcohol. And I think, you know, people like we were talking about, you know, your experience with PTSD, my experience with PTSD, a lot of people have PTSD and don't even realize it. We're seeing the benefits that CBD can have in that. And I guess my point is that there's a lot of things that we look at from the THC side, the benefits there as well, that we don't necessarily know what we're trying to treat, right? And, you know, Steve D'Angelo, he talks about we're all using cannabis for medical reasons one way or the other, right? And, you know, interpretation can be varied. But I guess the point is you know, things are changing. You know, maybe 5 years from now, we're not, you know, talking about the same stringent testing levels. You know, do you want to see, you know, cops on the road? You know, under the influence of anything? No, of course not. You know, so I guess it's just, you know, but there's people out there who are using it, I guess, that going around the system in one way or another anyways.
Yeah. And I think in order for this to change, it's going to take time. You can't rush something like this. You don't want to rush it. Uh-huh. But really it's going to come down to people doing what I did, you know.
Yeah.
Put your ignorance aside, educate yourself. You know, I still got friends that look at me and they shake their head at me and I'm just like, wow. you still don't know, do you? And they're just like, I just don't see you doing what you're doing. I said, man, I never did. But, you know, and that's what it takes. You just got to put your ignorance aside. You know, don't think about yourself. Think about others. You know, like I said, when we first started talking, me and my wife met by helping other people. Okay. I was picking patients up on the street, you know, whether they be heroin overdoses or medical, whatever uh-huh. it may be. And I was taking them and dumping them off to her. Uh-huh. We were helping people. And that's what the whole part of me stopping what I was doing and jumping in 100% and starting a company and walking away from a career that I had to start a company to where we can continue to help people. Because, you know, there may be 50 people look at me and say, no way, I want nothing to do with you. And that's fine. That's their choice. But all I need is one to look at me and say, man, thanks. You know, it helped. Thank you for helping bring awareness, you know, to our area as far as what this product can do. And, you know, and the benefits of it, you know, as you know, we don't make medical claims. You'll never hear me say, you know, hey, take this product. It's going to make you sleep better. You'll uh-huh. never hear me or anybody with our company say that. What I will tell you is, I started taking the product and this is what I noticed in it. So I'll give you people all the different stories and of individual stories and how it's benefited them. And as long as we keep getting those and those stories don't change to, man, it's really starting to hurt me, we're just going to take and grow this and go as far as we can, because that's why we're here. We're here to help people. You know, everybody should pump the brakes a little bit, do a little bit of education. If it's for you, it's for you. If it's not, hey, more power to you. It definitely can help people though.
No doubt. And I mean, that, I guess, transitions over to the next thing, you know, mentioning, you know, not making claims, obviously, but, you know, your own personal experience with it. So talk to me a little bit about that as well. You know, you mentioned all first responders had PTSD from one degree to another, right? And probably most people walking around have experienced PTSD in some way as well. And it's something that we're also trying to destigmatize a little bit, you know, having PTSD and being okay with that and finding different ways to treat. So talk to me a little bit about your experience as a firefighter EMT, and kind of, you know, things maybe that were traumatic to you and that you've seen CBD help in the last 12 months here.
Yes. I mean, obviously, you know, you said it and we talked about it, is everybody has PTSD to some point or another. As soon as you see something, if you see something and you're like, oh my God, am I actually looking at this?
Yeah.
My opinion, and I'm not a professional at this, so I hope people don't think that I'm making a medical claim or statement with this. You just experienced PTSD. If you see something that is not normal, that's what it is. I mean, I've, you know, fatal car accidents, you know, fatal house fires, children in cardiac arrest, whatever it may be, those, they do catch up to you. And, you know, my father is a Marine. So, you know, he's kind of the old school thought of, you just suck it up and you got to deal with it. And that's how I was born. That's how I was raised. And a lot of other people were raised the same way. But not until recently is there actually starting to be some acknowledgement, and some people, saying, I have PTSD. But one of the things I think that's key in order to make sure that people, because that's the first step, in my opinion, of dealing with, is you have to admit that you have it. Once you admit that you have it, now you're, to me, I was like, all right, so now what? And it's, you have to be able to, there has to be something available to you to help you get through that. So with all the different things, you know, it's not like I'm fortunate. I don't wake up in the middle of the night with night terrors or things like that. But we do get anxiety. Just stress levels build. You see things, you smell things, and it kind of brings it back. What I noticed is that with using the CBD product, it doesn't do away with it. Like, you can still think and experience these things, but you don't have the real peaks and valleys anymore. It's just kind of, it's a calming. So it really helps you get through it. You know, benefiting from it, taking it, knowing that it helps me. I know a lot of people, I got a lot of friends who can't take it, and I know, and it kind of, it irritates me a little bit that they can't take it. But at the same time, like I said a few minutes ago, we just need to go slow and transition into this. It's not going to happen overnight, but people need to try this. If it works for them, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I've yet to find anybody who's told me, no, it didn't help me with it. So, you know, it's just, it's one of those things. It's a stigma that I think is finally starting to get some acknowledgement. You know, individual agencies and all are really starting to, you know, accept and start to educate people. You know, right now with this COVID-19 going on, I just watched the video yesterday that comes out from the National Volunteer Firefighters Council. It is an hour long. It's basically just like a class. You sit there and you listen, and people are going to go through PTSD and have PTSD with what's happening now. And it's not going to be just the first responders. It's, you know, it's going to be people that are sitting at home with their kids, and they're scared to death that this virus is going to come and get them and it's going to kill them. You know, kind of straight and to the point there, people are going to die from it, but, you know, hopefully you're healthy enough that if you do get it, you'll be able to survive it. But things like that, it creates PTSD. It's a huge issue, and this is definitely the CBD is definitely something that can curb that, so to say. It can definitely relieve some of the pressure you're under, and just, you know, help you relax a little bit and give you a clear mind. And I say that because that's what it did to me.
No, yeah. And I mean, you hit it on the head, you know, what people are going through right now. And we have firsthand knowledge here as well. You know, secondhand, I guess, you know, my fiance, her parents are nurses. You know, one of them is a midwife, and she's, you know, they're out of mass, you know, and they don't have anything to protect themselves, and they're, you know, in the hospitals and seeing what they're going through, and you hear the reports and you see the videos of people there and the you know, who're treating others, and it's very scary, and they're very scared, you know. And there's and then aside from that, there's obviously the aspect of what we're all going through, like you said, you know, not just only the fear of contracting it and having to recover from that or go through to the other side, but also the uncertainty that people are going through right now, economically. People not sure what's going to be next month, 2 months from now, 3 months from now. And really, people are so, you know, desperate, I guess, at this point already, with the anxiety, that they're saying, hell, I'll put my own life in my hands and go out there, and as long as I can keep things going. And it's just kind of a shitty position to be in, you know. Hey, I'm going to either put myself in harm's way, or I'm going to put my finances in harm's way. And it's just, I mean, I personally don't think there's a, you know, life, you know, you can always make more money, or, you know, there's always ways to go around things. You can't bring yourself back to life, you know, or
loved one,
you know, but, you know, there's always systems in place and stuff that we can help there. But yeah, with the fallout, I think, is going to be massive, obviously, not just economically, which that as well, but just with people, you know, imagine what it's going to be after we go outside for the first time and get back to Little League games and get back to the sporting events and everything else. I'm just kind of being like, what the hell just happened, you know, and kind of the response that we're going to have to that as well. You know, I think that's something we haven't really talked about so much. You know, we talk about obviously the other effects, but like you said, the the effects, the kind of traumatic effects, you know, obviously it's not the same, like you said, you know, night terrors, or, you know, I have buddies who, you know, had different stints over in Iraq and in Afghanistan, and their level, and their level PTSD is much different than mine, obviously, or, you know, a lot of people's, obviously. So to say that, that this amounts to that, but definitely there's the people who are there in the hospitals, they're experiencing something right now that none of us want to experience, what they're seeing, and not just in America, yeah, but around the world.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And one thing I don't think people understand is life as we know it has changed.
Yeah.
It's 100% changed. You know, look at how life changed after 9/11. Uh-huh. Changed, you know.
Yeah, we haven't gone back. You know, still gonna take our shoes off at the airport and all kinds of
TSA.
Things, you know? Yeah.
Yep. TSA at the airport, you know, that's a direct result of 9/11. So it's just, you know, what's going to happen after this. But, you know, people are going to experience some things and all that. And, you know, if they're ones that are willing to or believe in a product and understand it, you know, we want to make sure that we're providing them with a product that it's going to help them. Yeah. And that's what it's all about. You know, yeah, we need to make some money while we're doing this, and I want to provide for my family, and I think we can make a very good living at this. But, you know, a lot of uncertainties in the industry right now, the markets, the way they're going, as far as the hemp market, the numbers have just bottomed out over the last year. It is a tough time, but, you know, we need everybody, you know, us in business and then people in life in general need to just maintain the focus, remember what it is that you're doing, and just keep plugging along and plugging along. And, you know, eventually you're going to get there. And, you know, while you're on that travel, while you're traveling down that road of wherever you're going, grab a couple people and take them with you, you know, help them out. And that's, I'm a firm believer, you know, you got to have high integrity when you do something, you got to be honest and trustworthy, and all else, you got to help people. If you don't help people, just stop what you're doing until you can figure out why it is you're not helping people and how you can start.
Exactly. And I mean, you that's what you've been doing, and your wife's been doing there. I commend you guys. And I guess, you know, so I see the full picture, you know, I really see a full picture here, you know, with the, you know, going up down to the Marine and what you do and the ER and how important it is for you. You know, to make sure, because like we've talked about, you know, it goes all the way full circle, you know, talking about THC and the testing, the stringencies, and obviously certain professions have higher stringencies, right, imposed on them. And these are very high profile positions, so to speak, obviously, and things that that talk about essential business is essential to life, right? Having first responders, having police officers, having people who are in different levels. So talk to me a little bit more about the importance of having that THC-free product that you guys have there, Four Reasons Hemp, and why that's your main focus.
The THC, I mean, mine and my wife's, you know, everybody has their inner circles and their close friends, and then, you know, just it kind of gets a little bit bigger, but you have that group of people that you really relate to. Uh-huh. It's like pro athletes that kind of all hang out together. A lot of pro athletes do stuff like that. You know, the majority of my friends, a lot of them are first responders. Uh-huh. I know that there are individuals out there that are friends of mine that suffer day in and day out because they, you know, they're doing what they can. You know, some of them have admitted to PTSD, some of them have not. Uh-huh. So the ones that have admitted to it, you know, they're doing what they can. They're doing what the normal is for that. But they're not able to try this other avenue with CBD. So we want to give that to them. And we know that the only way we can do that is if we offer a THC-free, total remediation of the THC out of the product, and let them get the benefit of what that product gives them. Now, is there, you know, better, do they get a higher benefit if the THC's in it? I would say the whole plant is meant to be consumed how the plant's meant to be consumed. So probably, But if we can give them maybe not the full amount, but just a little bit less because the THC is out of it, we're still giving them something. We're giving them hope. And, you know, long term, if they get the results and the benefits that I got, we're giving them their life back. In all reality, that's what you're doing, because PTSD, it's not paralyzing to me, but there are people who it paralyzes them.
Yeah. You know,
people commit suicide every single day because of PTSD. Well, that's because the reason someone commits suicide is that they're paralyzed and they don't see any help. That's what we need to stop. And for reasons, we want to offer help. We want them to know that there's something out there for them to try. So we're going to do our part and, give them what we can and, cross our fingers, say a prayer, and hope that it works for them.
Yeah, no, 100%. Talking about how you've come around, obviously, on CBD hemp in particular, CBD and cannabis in general, I guess. I'm always surprised because, like I said, it's been something that's been ingrained in us from a young age, but people are kind of coming around more about CBD. I mean, we have many clients, we do down south, whether it be Alabama, Georgia, Texas, states that you would normally consider to be very conservative, that they've kind of embraced it completely, right? And these are things that people have taken on to very, very well. You also mentioned, with your group that you have an inner group, and obviously tell me and you said earlier that some of them are like, oh my goodness, Ernie, I can't believe that you're in this. This is so not like you, right? But what's kind of been your feedback they've given you, once they get over the shock that, okay, this is what you're doing, and they do their own research, they're like, okay, cool, why not? I'll give it a shot, or is it something that people are just kind of not for? Or is there kind of a middle ground between that? Kind of give me your experience with that as well, because, I know that there's so many people that suffer from this and they need relief. And like I said, I'm in the industry, so I kind of hear always people are they're open to it.
Right.
But I want to, it's always interesting to hear other people's opinions as well. So
everybody you just talked about, the hey, stay away, the all right, let me try it and this and that, mm-hmm. We've got them all. We've got mm-hmm. all those friends. They kind of, they start with, after, a month, oh man, it's great you're doing it, man. I'm glad you're doing it. So we've kind of transitioned. But we have a little bit of everything. I've still got friends that are like, nope, not doing it. I think what's happening and what is helping. When I got into this, I had all my ducks in a row. I knew what I was going to do because I knew what I was getting into, and I knew I was, crossing that line of the normal, for not only me and my family, but this whole area that we're in. So me educating myself was the foundation of everything. Once I educated myself, I have been consistent, and my wife and our company is consistent with the message that we give, and we try to put out there. So we haven't wavered from that at all. We're sticking to it. I've got one of my best friends. He's a state cop, and he looked at me and he just like scratched his head and he rolled his eyes. He was like, "Man, are you kidding me?" So there was some distancing there for a little bit. But we went down to Texas to
really
Dallas,
wow.
A few months ago for the hemp convention.
Uh-huh.
He went with us.
Wow.
So and it was something that he was against. But again, it's just, I think what's really helping us, getting people to see the benefits and see where things are going, is we are honest. We have very high levels of integrity, and we're sticking to it. We're not bouncing around all over the place with this and that and, different things. What we said from day one, we've stuck with. And I think people just see the consistency with us. And they're also seeing probably some changes personally that, that I may not notice about myself. My wife probably doesn't notice about herself, but our friends and family are seeing that. And, if it's brought up in conversation, hey, this and that, say, I don't know, maybe it's because of this, maybe it's because of that. But yeah, it's just, you know, we're being consistent. And, you know, those that are like, no way, some of them every once in a while, we see them kind of like, you almost imagine them peeking around the corner just to kind of see what we're doing. And it's like, hey, man, what's going on? We're still here. And then, you know, slowly they warm up. It's like meeting somebody new. You know, if you're not very trusting, you know, you meet someone and you got your guard up, and then eventually you just, you kind of, you warm up to them. And I think that's what it's going to take, you know, for us and for this industry as a whole, is don't force things down somebody's throat. They will come around when they're ready to come around. If my brother-in-law had to come to me 13 months ago and just hammered me with, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now, because I would have been totally turned off at that. I would have been turned off at the industry. But it wasn't like that. I warmed up to it and I did my education, and here I am today. And I just want to make sure that everybody else, asset everybody else, kind of does the same thing and just, you know, educate yourself and, you know, help us help others.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, that's so funny about your buddy. He came down to the hemp convention. Did you go kicking and screaming, or was it something that he now was like, you know what, I'm on board now, you know?
Yeah, we went down, and, you know, I said, hey, we're going down. And he's like, probably not. And then I brought it up again. He's like, well, I've never been to Dallas. So he was warming up to it. So I was expecting him just to go down there with us and hang out, you know, after we were done the convention and stuff like that. But he went up there the first day with, I don't know if you were there or not, but it was a mess with registration. It was just people everywhere. So he kind of wandered around. Well, by the end of the day, I bought him a ticket for the next day because he wanted to go in and start seeing some of the speakers and all that they were talking about. So, he willingly went. You know, he had his eyes open to a lot. And when we have our first T-Free line come through here, probably in the next 30 days, I would almost guarantee once he gets the authorization, because he'll actually have to go through some testing at work. We'll have to submit the product and have it tested to show that none's in there. And I'll bet he's one of our first customers for it.
Wow. Yeah. Amazing. So what did he share, any of his takeaways there from what he learned there, or anything that kind of, maybe helped him, see the other side a little bit?
I just know he said, man, I can't believe I'm at a weed convention. That's what he kept saying. That's what he kept saying we were there. But no, he didn't, honestly, he did not know all the uses for the hemp product. You know, whether it be from candies to cosmetics to, you know, whatever, you know, hundreds and hundreds of vendors down there. Uh-huh. He wasn't aware of it. You know, he wasn't aware. And he's like, man, that's, you can build a house out of this. And I'm like, yeah, you can. I mean, this stuff literally, is going to change the world. One person, one family at a time. It's going to change the world, in my opinion. And, you know, I just want to do my part in helping get more people like my buddy to, you know, they don't necessarily have to go to a convention with us, but, you know, obviously change that mindset a little bit.
Wow. That's great. No, definitely. And, you know, we talk about the value of the plant itself, right? I mean, aside from the cannabinoids and the way that we can help people with their health and everything else that goes along with it, but just the plant itself, you know, talking about the textiles and the fabrics and the hempcrete and everything else that goes along with it, that's it's going to be changing the world, that we're bringing back, we're reintegrating back into society after almost 100 years there of prohibition from that, which is actually, if you look down at it, that's kind of the main reason why hemp cannabis was outlawed in the first place, was for those industries. But that's another conversation for another time, I guess.
All the lobbyists out there that did it.
Oh, yeah.
My big thing I want to see with this, and it's, you know, I never, you know, obviously we need to make sure that we're living on in a world and on an earth that's healthy. But I really want to see what the carbon footprint is once hemp starts expanding. I mean, they're talking about taking out, you know, more than four times that the trees do. It's really going to be interesting to see what all these plants in the ground is going to do to, you know, bring us back to where we should be.
Yeah. And you see, you know, despite all the challenges it's giving to human beings, obviously, you know, you see also how the earth is kind of healing in this time. And, you know, the way that we affect the earth on a daily basis. You know, you're really seeing the effects here with kind of stuff. Not like it's going to go back to normal, it's, you know, in the last few weeks, but you can definitely just see normal pictures of LA with the smog, you know, from October, and you see it today. It's like, wow, it's a clear day out in LA. You know, it's crazy to even think about that. So
everything happens for a reason.
That's it. That's it. I agree with that. Not everybody agrees with us when we say that, but I definitely agree with that as well. So, you know, talking about four seasons, you know, what has been the biggest obstacle that, that your business has faced, and how have you been able to overcome it?
So right now, you know, other than kind of the stigma, which, you know, it's just coming, you know, we obviously we started out as a farm. That's all we were going to do. I wasn't looking to get into the retail space at all with it. Well, you know, when we got started and then pricing really took a turn for the worse, and hopefully it's bottomed out and it's going to start to come back up. I was like, man, we got to look at another way to make some money. So, cause we couldn't sell, you know, it's still hard for us to find a way, to get the product up until it was hard for us to find a way to get the product to where we needed to go. Now that we know exactly kind of what we're doing, like I just said, you know, everything happens for a reason. You know, maybe these numbers bottoming it out is what took us to getting into a tea-free product, which is helping the people with the PTSD. But it's really just the big thing is us making sure that we have a high quality, trustworthy product that we're going to be able to supply to whoever needs it. So we are holding ourselves back a little bit. You know, we don't want to go out there and just start saying, hey guys, we got all this product, and then we come on, you know, 500 more people come to us in a month, and we say, hey, sorry, I can only give you, you know, 250 customers is all we can take on. But really just balancing, you know, this is a new industry for a lot of people, including me. I'm trying to learn the industry. We're trying to make sure we're doing things, that are going to fall in the guidelines from the USDA, that, you know, if we're going across state lines, are they going to lock us up? You know, it's just learning. We haven't had any big setbacks. You know, we've had a lot of speed bumps we've gone over. But we're just keeping our head down and moving forward, and, you know, continually educating ourselves as we go. And, you know, knowing that when, you know, at the end, not the end of this road, but the next stop down this road is going to be, well worth everything that we're going through. You know, so I don't know if that kind of answered your question about things we've had to overcome.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it's changing the mindset, at somebody else's pace. So we're changing it when they want to be changed. And then, you know, just making sure that we have everything that we need for when those mindsets are changed, that we can give them the benefit that we've seen ourselves.
No, definitely. And, you know, talking about the challenges going on now as well. You know, the challenges you faced, you know, just having to adapt, right, of the industry. The industry is always changing, and the prices, and, you know, people saying the bubble's popped and this and that. Well, you know, it's a lot of people make good money when the price is down, and when the economy seems to be down. You know, some of the biggest companies that are around today were starting their last little dip back in 2008, 2009, 2010. So, you know, the people who are able to adapt now, I think, are going to be the ones who really succeed, actually, in the long term. Because it's so easy when everything's booming and everything's going and money's moving, and the prices are there, the margins are there. But the ones that are, you know, able to adapt on the fly, I think, are the ones that are really going to make it. And I think the same thing goes on now, you know, as we're moving through with the COVID-19 and the situation that we're in. Same thing, you know, we talk about economically, we talk about already the industry before this happened. We've already been talking about this. And now moving forward with this, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how people adapt. I think, you know, you talk about yourself and going online and having your website and having all that, I think is key. obviously, and you know, being able to leverage that and leverage, you know, that into new customers and different ways to do that as well, I think is very important. So very good.
Yep.
So good. So I guess, what can we expect then from Four Reasons Hemp in the future? You mentioned a little bit about it, but a little bit more in depth.
So we're looking at expanding our product line. I mean, we're you know, we want to dial in and fine tune what we have right now. So we've got tinctures. We have a salve. We have a kind of, it's a body butter, I guess you would call it. We're obviously going to grow when we can grow. But we really want to focus in kind of where we're at right now. And just, you know, from our small little area, you know, Maryland, Delaware, southeastern Pennsylvania, and then just blow it up a little bit and get a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger. You know, our product's not going to be for everybody. We know that, but we want to make sure that, you know, if we can sell this product in Europe one day, we'll sell it in Europe. You know, really right now, we're not looking at expanding too much, on the product line. You know, we're going to keep doing what we've got to make sure we've got a high quality product. One thing we are looking at doing a little bit different this year for 2020 with our farm is we're going to grow the same. So last year we did 10 acres. We're going to grow that same 10 acres for us this year. But what we're looking to do is find some strategic partners, you know, these other product manufacturers that are out there. And we want to do contract grows with them. You know, consistent, high quality product we've noticed can be as hard to come by as honest and reputable people within this industry right now, unfortunately. So if we can work with some of these companies that are out there, get in touch with them and just say, hey guys, this is what we did our first year. If you want a high quality product, come to us, tell us what you're looking for as far as your CBD levels and maybe some strains and all that you're looking to do. And we'll grow that for you. You know, it saves money, takes away some of the risk. It, you know, frees them up to do some things. But we just want to build some long-term relationships, business relationships that benefit, you know, both us and them, but ultimately benefit the end user in the long run.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, exactly. Having feedback from those, you know, the utilizing the product, obviously, and you know, to make things easier for them. That's always the way, you know, businesses are growing, right? Finding the problem, you know, what problem are your customers having, and finding that solution, you know? So,
yep. Amazing.
So cool. Ernie, it's been great chatting with you. You know, I always enjoy this question, this answer. I know you've listened to some of our episodes, but, you know, I want to ask you, how do you define success, whether professionally, personally, existentially? What does success look like for you?
That's a really good question. I mean, success comes in all different means. You know, success as an individual could be, you know, waking up and, you know, for me, waking up in the morning and my daughter running up and giving me a hug before I go out the door and say, hey, I love you. I'll see you when you get home. You know, that's success for me with that. Business success. Our customers do it for us, or show it to us, is when they call my wife back up, because she does all of the product ordering on top of being a nurse. She does all that. But when they call up and they say, hey, I need to reorder, that's success for us. The fact that we're still here 13 months after we started with what I have been told was probably one of the worst years for the industry. The fact that we're still here and we're still moving forward and still have our business model and we haven't fallen behind too far. Obviously, we've been knocked back a little bit, but we get right back up and we keep moving. We're successful because our doors are still open and we're continuing down the path we started 13 months ago.
Oh, amazing. No, exactly. You know, I love that there, you know, just sharing about your daughter. You know, I think in these times especially, we have to focus on what we have and, you know, our loved ones and look around. I think, you know, as much as the world has stopped, it's just given us an opportunity to really look around and say how blessed we are, right? And how really amazing some of us have been. That's why I was sharing, you know, before we got on here with the recording, you know, just how my heart breaks for those out there, you know, who may, you know, who don't have anybody out there, right? Sitting in quarantine and sitting there with their family and, you know, sitting there with our loved ones. It can be amazing, you know, and there's people out there who don't have that. So to see that we're already successful, right? We're already successful to see that, wow, look at everything that we have. Look at the people around us and the love that we have, I think is so important. So I really appreciate that as well.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing, just kind of real quick, I'd like to throw in here. As I said, you know, I've got four kids, my four reasons. Three of those have compromised immune systems. So we deal with some trips to and from the hospital frequently. Everybody who listens to your podcast, I would just ask them to please go donate blood. There is a huge, huge shortage right now of all different types of blood from the East Coast to the West Coast, from the Canadian border all the way down south. Go give blood. Doesn't cost anything, and you will literally save lives. So, you know, like we said, everybody has a reason. You just got to find what your reason is. If you can go give blood, you're going to save somebody's life. And I guarantee you, the day you give blood, you'll wake up that next day and you'll feel better about yourself. So please do that if you can.
Amazing. And, you know, that's a great message to send out. You can help people in these times. That's an amazing way to help people. So, thank you so much for that as well. Now, I guess, as we close, how can our listeners find out more about Four Reasons Hemp, connect with you, buy your products, and reach out?
I'm 4reasonshemp.com. That's the number 4, and then reasons, R-E-A-S-O-N-S, hemp.com. We've got all our information on there. You know, contact information, emails. Drop us a line. If anybody has any questions, you know, we'll take questions, constructive criticism, you know, ways to help, whatever it may be. We're all on there. My contact information's on there. Check it out, you know, drop an email or pick the phone up and call me. I answer all the calls, when they come in. And, if I can't get you the answer that you're looking for, we definitely have someone who can answer that, and we kind of put you in touch with them. So check out 4reasonshemp.com and, you know, let us know what you think.
Awesome. Ernie, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much for all your insight and your candidness. I really appreciate that. And good luck to you, and best of luck to you, not only to you and your company, but to you and your family and health and everything else in these times. And we'll get through this together. So good luck to you in the rest of 2020 and beyond.
All right, I appreciate it. And hey, thank you for doing the podcast here, because it's people like you that are doing these and, you know, giving us the opportunity to educate the people that are out there. That's how this industry is going to change for the better. So thank you for doing what you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And it means the world to me and everybody out there. Thanks for listening as well. Couldn't do without all of you as well. So I appreciate everybody. All the best. Thanks for listening in to Dank Discussions, and we are so grateful for each and every one of you. We want to continue making dank content you want, so give us some feedback about the topics you want covered. Feel free to reach out to us at grow@calacan.com. That's C-A-L-A-C-A-N-N.com, and follow us on Instagram for our latest updates.